Hey, it's Bill Simmons. Did you know I've had my podcast for 15 years? Do you know that it is the most downloaded sports podcast of all time? Did you know I have guests from the sports world, from the culture world, people who work for The Ringer, people outside The Ringer, celebrities, experts, you name it. It's on my podcast 3 times a week, late Sunday night, late Tuesday night, late Thursday night, the Bill Simmons podcast. Check it out on Spotify. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one. This episode is brought to you by Vuori. I love sports. I know you do too. I also know that lots of you exercise, but if you're like me and my wife, the beloved sports gal, you're sick and tired of ugly, uncomfortable workout gear. Especially, you know, I do a lot of walking. I walk around LA. I make calls. I listen to podcasts. Here are two words that will change everything. Vuori clothing, a line of activewear that is unbelievable. The best thing about Vuori is you can lounge around in it. You can work out in it. You can go outside. You can go shopping down in your local, wherever. And you never feel like you're either underdressed or overdressed. You're just comfortable. You can wear it when you're training, traveling, lounging around the house. Go get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet. Here's the deal. Our listeners get 20% off their first purchase at Vuori.com/Simmons. Once again, Vuori.com/Simmons.
Brazil.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 100 of Righty's House. Hope you're all safe and well. Today, we're going to look ahead to the World Cup and make some predictions. The winners, the Golden Boot, the Dark Horse, and one wild hot take. And my guests are Karl Anka, Mayowa Quadri, and Flo Lloyd Hughes. How are you doing, guys? 100. 100.
100.
All right.
I'm sat here with the two times reigning,
two time
defending, undisputed, unified FSA sporting pundit of the year. Right. How you doing, baby?
Right, good.
Congratulations. Good.
Oh, thanks, man. You know, it's a strange one because, like, I remember through my career, I didn't get anything. Never won anything, even when you meant to win something. So when you go to these and then you hear your name, it's really, the feeling what happens inside, it's really strange because, oh my God, recognition, you know, bam, out there. And it was just like really humbling, the both of them, you know, the broadcast and then the FSA. But the thing with the FSA, if I'm, you know, all seriousness, is it's the one by the fans. This organization is an unbelievable organization. It's one of those things that you just like people to stand up and you know what? To join in with what they're doing, you know, join them because what they do and the way they police the game and everything what happens with the fans, they're the only thing really out there for the fans. It's about the fans. And the more the fans get involved with them, the better it's going to be because the chairman or the CEO made a speech last night. It was like fantastic. It was amazing. He touched on all the points, everything with the ESL. The World Cup, you know, the women's game. He touched on everything in a very calm, jovial and serious manner that just makes you get it and you realise what you're dealing with. So to be there, and I was on his table, I had a really good chat to him from Sunderland and you know, he's a nice guy, but it was, like I say, one of those things that I've won it before and I couldn't make it. If that happens, if I'm ever, even if I'm not nominated, I'm going to that. To recognise, and I really, really, I'm more humbled about that than anything, if I'm being totally honest, because the fans.
Also, 100 episodes of Righty House.
100 episodes, man, we made it.
Three digits, a century of chaos.
Wow.
Look at us.
Just look at us. Hey, who would have thought?
Look at us.
Not me.
Definitely not me.
Woke up, man. It's upon us.
5 days from now.
And it's upon us, man.
We are here.
Carl already looks tired.
Oh, my gosh.
We haven't even started yet.
It's that pep thing. We are tired.
We are tired. It's what can I say in respects of it? When we're talking about like the World Cup and like, you know, you're trying to get into it,
mm-hmm.
but it seems like there's like, you know, when people put that kind of cellophane on the door to stop the people going through, you just don't see that you're being stopped there. There's something stopping you from getting into the real joy and magic of it. So I'm trying to get past that because normally by now we'd have finished the season, the summer, we're looking forward to it and everything. But for some reason, obviously, because this is happening at a time where, you know, it doesn't normally happen in the winter. In November, it seems very difficult to let go and go into the World Cup, but I feel like I'm getting there now.
We've got to break through that cling film.
I've had to, like, you know, when you think happy thoughts. What can make me think really optimism about this? And then I think it was those call-ups. When I was looking at the call-ups and everything, and then I was looking at players sort of suddenly get ill.
Yes.
Before.
Yes, it's like, going to happen.
I'm a bit ill. I'm a bit fatigued. Yeah. I'm not playing this week. And I realised, you know what? This is a massive moment for
some players. I've done a couple of press conferences with Erik ten Hag. Mm. And obviously, Anthony's been injured for a bit. And just after the League Cup game, a very nice Brazilian journalist went, Anthony's injured. Is he going to be available for the Sunday game? And he goes, oh, we'll see. Maybe. We'll see on Friday or whatever. And the journalist went, he's okay for the World Cup. He's like, and Turner's like, yeah, of course, don't worry about it. don't worry. He's fine for the World Cup.
That doesn't concern me.
I've never seen a scenario like that in football before where a professional's integrity is brought into the mix simply because I'm not even, I tell you this and I'd say, honestly, if I was involved now and I was in a World Cup squad, I would not want to play in a league game.
Especially when bodies are dropping like flies as well.
I don't know if people say, oh, that's terrible. And fans will say, oh, how can you do that? Just a club and that. But the thing is that with the World Cup and what it meant to me, coming around every 4 years, and then you get in a World Cup that's been brought forward into the winter, because there's people who are getting injured now that if it was in the summer, they'd probably be get themselves, and now you're out. You get injured, you're out. I would not want to be in a situation where I'm playing and get injured because I can't play. I can't play on like holding back. I can't play the handbrake.
You're going to have a couple of players at this World Cup who are in the squad, but a bit like Maguire at Euro 2020, it was, you're going to miss one of the group stage games. We're saving you for the knockout.
Load management.
Like if Rafael Varane plays for France, I don't think he's going to play in the group stages.
Mm-mm.
And I think there's might be two or three players who's you're not here for the group stages. Just keep nursing the hamstring.
Yeah. But that makes it so interesting as well, because you've got this dynamic where this was the World Cup where everyone said people are taking their child and tested teams from last because there's not been enough friendlies in between. And now you've got managers that have to look at situation and go, how do I put together this puzzle? How much faith am I banking on certain things working? Like, I'm sure we're going to talk about squads today, but you look at the French squad, it's like, you ever play a game where it says loading and the loading screen stops.
Yeah.
And you don't know whether to switch off the PlayStation or just wait. That's what the French squad is.
And you're like, but I won so much already. I've already quit the save game.
What am I going to do? It's like so many of the squads you look at and you go, that's really awkward. Or you're not informed. Or you guys could make it all come together. And again, it's in the middle of winter for most. I mean, all of the African teams are probably used to this, which is...
This is it.
funny.
Cameroon are just sat there.
Exactly.
This ain't new.
And Mario, you were saying about when it feels real. I think for me, when it felt real was like the groomsmen lads pick that England did yesterday. Them in their like white shirts and jackets. That's when I was like, okay, there's a World Cup happening. But I like the way it wasn't like normally like a school photo. It wasn't like everyone standing serious, arms down. It was like, yeah, we're going to like Latvia for Harry Kane stag do, everybody. Like, it was cute. It was
giving
nice vibes.
Take that reunion vibes. Like,
yes,
I liked it. Like, you know, no suits and ties.
Yeah, it was cute. It was cute. And it made me feel really warm.
Nice.
And I know I've been a negative Nancy about England and this World Cup, but I did start to feel a little bit of warmth and positivity and excitement. And I think that's really important because, like Ian said, it's just been strange vibes. But I think as we get closer, I'm like, wow, I could watch football from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every day. That's quite an exciting prospect. Yeah. That's quite a nice feeling.
Especially the different kind of styles.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to watching it now because we obviously we see what we see in the Premier League. You know, we see Man City hammering into a team and them team just fighting them off. Or, you know what I mean? You might see a Brentford come and and they've gone direct, but there's going to be so much more kind of like, I'm looking forward to seeing Senegal.
Mm.
Yes.
Because, you know, I think the mystery of like what people think of African teams is chaos and they don't do this. And they have, when you watch Senegal, they are so structured. And
mm-hmm.
This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Loom help power the collaboration needed for teams to accomplish what would otherwise be impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together we're so much better. That's why millions of teams around the world, including 75% of the Fortune 500, trust Atlassian software for everything from sports exploration and green energy to delivering pizza and podcasts. Whether you're a team of 200, or 2 million, Atlassian software is built to help keep you connected and moving together as one.
So guys, because it's the World Cup and because it's 100 episodes, I'm so pleased about that, lasted 100. We're going to do something different. We're going to do predictions because I'm feeling like I've got the winners in my head.
Okay.
So we're going to do that. We're going to do something a bit different. So, Flo?
Yep.
Fire away.
So, I'm going to go with a very romantic choice, but I also think their squad is elite, and I'm going to go with Brazil to win the World Cup. And I think I'm right. Carl, you might be able to tell me. I think I'm right in thinking that if Brazil and Argentina both win their groups, they'd meet in the semi-final. Semis.
Yep,
maybe. Yes.
So I think Brazil will beat Argentina in the semi-final. It'll be like an incredible game. It'll be an emotional game. Obviously, it'll be Messi's last game.
Mm.
And I think Messi will win the Golden Boot.
Okay.
But Argentina won't win the tournament.
Whoa, 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 whoa,
save
whoa, whoa,
the Golden Boot chat.
There's too much heat.
She's putting. So you're going with Brazil.
Brazil to win, beat Argentina in the semi-final.
Wow.
Mayos.
I'm actually going to Argentina.
That's some South American flavor here.
Yeah. I think ultimately we know that it's going to be very warm there, but the stadium's going to be freezing because the AC is. So I think all of the South American and African teams have advantage there. I also think that the curse of being ranked first is a real curse. So I don't think Brazil are going to be able to break that curse. They're going in ranked first. So I think by default, they won't win the World Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as well, with all of the nonsense that's going on, how beautiful would it be for Messi to just be like, finish it, I want to end this debate
in
now.
This, yes.
Not only does he win, he gets his knockout goals because, you know, the allegations have been hot. He gets his knockout goals as well. And he finally does it. And then it's just laid to rest. It's done.
It's done.
C'est fini. I'm going Argentina.
Yes, man. I like it. Carlo.
I'm going Brazil as well.
Oh,
wow!
Samba!
I am.
Jogo Benito.
So yesterday was on the, you know, World Cup prediction, pick your group stage winner, whatever. Mm. And I, you know, did one run. Brazil won it after the kick. I went, okay, let me change the group stage order a little bit. Did it again. Got to the final. And I went, nah, Brazil winning that final too.
You can't beat the algorithm, man.
Did it a third time. And I did it again. And it was Brazil. I had a Brazil-France final. And I went, I got a theory, basically, that the first two World Cups you remember, those World Cups, the ones you like stick in your brain.
Yeah.
So the first two World Cup finals I remember watching, Brazil-France 98, Brazil-Germany 2002.
Mm.
And if Brazil win the World Cup, there's a good chance they might play both of those games.
Mm.
So maybe it's just me and my old nostalgic brain hitting all the predictor things, but I think Brazil going to win it. I think actually golden best player of the tournament is going to be
got too much dip in the chip.
Wow.
Too much dip. Argentina.
Oh!
Argentina. I'm going to go with them because I think the squad's ready.
Mm-hmm.
It's balanced, isn't it?
I think this
is the best squad. It's the best squad Messi's ever had.
I think the last lost in 2019, I think, and it was to Brazil. 2-0. That is something. But for me, I think that when the players that they've got around them now, and it being Messi's last, and there's no noise. There's no noise.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. There's no noise, man.
Yeah, the noise is around Brazil, if anything.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at what they've won as well recently. The teams together, the players that they... I'm going to go into the players in a minute about who they've got. I got mentioned Enzo Fernandez, bro. Benfica. Just to throw one out there. And Lautaro, oh God, Martinez. But I, like I said, again, I just feel that this is the one, and the way it's all building up towards it, the new coach and how the new coach is and how well they're playing and how Argentina feeling like they're going into a World Cup where they can win. And then those players are playing to give Messi the opportunity to be the one. Because I think that if Messi wins this World Cup, I think he's the greatest ever.
Don't let me cook. Don't let me
I think he's the greatest ever.
All time.
Right. I think that he, you know, because Maradona means the world to me, but if Messi wins this World Cup.
What about Pele?
I'm sorry. I love those. I love it. And you know, Pele's winning, he was, Cruyff, all of them. I just think that with Messi, what he's done, and even maybe I watched the Messi documentary for the fourth time the other day. I just think that him getting the World Cup, the way he's been, the way he's played, I just think that.
Right, guess what? Guess what? We're leaving with something. We're leaving with something. More than you believe.
I just feel that. It's just time. The stars are aligning for Lionel. Mm.
I remember the bit in The Last Dance where the guy from Indiana Pacers is going, "This is it. I want to be the guy to knock out Michael Jordan in the final."
Mm.
And you got to think there's probably two or three people that change you and going,
Whoa.
I could be the one to stop Lionel Messi winning a...
But do you know what I love about about that? In a part of The Last Dance as well, I don't know why his name's left me. Steve Kerr.
Part
where it's like he's not taking the shot. It's gonna be like that. You have to remember this isn't Messi anymore. This is facilitation Messi.
This is true.
It's gonna be one of those things everyone's like, yeah, I'm gonna rub him. She's just gonna slide nice assist over there. Yeah. So, oh my God,
Enzo Fernandez.
That's it. So
it's got that vibe, innit?
It's got that vibe.
Because, like you say, Messi's 34, you know, and he's at that stage where, you know, I feel like the guys want to give him something back. They want to give him something, you know? And I just feel that exactly like you say there, you know, it's like I've got to trust Steve Kerr. It's not just me
it's
now.
Not me.
I've got to. And that is the beautifully put, Mioa, in the way that Messi is a player that has that kind of like empathy and love for his teammates, where he says, "It's your turn, bro. It's your turn." And this is why everything that comes around, and when I think about it, I just can't see anybody apart from Argentina. And I think they'll beat them in the same final.
Do you know, I love the parallel here as well. Obviously, when it was Barcelona days, the whole thing was, I'm preparing you to take the reins. Neymar said, no, I want to be the main man. I want to do it now. And he left. Neymar's in a situation where in Brazil, remember, he missed the major tournament. Now it's like, you have to carry now, boy. You should have done the internship. You would have, you know,
yes.
But you didn't.
Yes.
Now where Messi's like, you know what? I've helped Mbappe here, helped Neymar club level here. I'm good. Like, I've done my thing. So it'll be interesting to see how Neymar handles the pressure. He has to deliver. Mm. So
exactly.
Messi doesn't.
Like, and we saw what happened with Brazil in 2014 when he got injured. What Germany rinsed the team out.
It's tough.
Germany are there though.
Yeah.
Boy, we'll get into them.
With Germany again, you know, we've not gone for no European sides, but at the same time, you can never ever write off Germany.
Mm. Listen,
whatever they're doing.
Adeyemi. Musiala. Serge Gnabry. Remember, he didn't get to play in that World Cup.
Mm.
His goal scoring record, I can't remember numbers, but it's ridiculous. He's probably got maybe seven more appearances than goals at international level. He's going to cook. We're going to see a lot of that little cook celebration for him. He might even be in contention for a golden boot. I can't lie.
Well, I'll tell you what, then. That's a nice transition. Who's winning the golden boot in the World Cup? Because should I go first?
Yeah, you go.
I'm going to go because I've gone with Argentina. So obviously someone's going to have to blast them to it. It's not going to, I think Lautaro Martinez.
Okay. Wow.
I think that he might be the one to finish it off. He might be the one to score the goals. He might be Steve Kerr. Bam. So I'm going to go with Lautaro Martinez, Argentina for the golden boot.
Mm. I'm going to go Messi.
Okay.
Mm. You think he's going to score the goals?
I think if Argentina are going to get close, Or get all the way, I think it's going to be Messi.
I think he might score that goal when the 1-0 goal.
Mm.
But I think that someone like Martinez is the one that will blast through the group stages. And then he might score latter stages. But Messi might be the one that scores the winner against Brazil in the semis.
One of my favourite bit of World Cup comms, 2014, Argentina versus Iran, Jonathan Pearce on BBC, final minutes, Di Maria's on the ball, ball gets slid through to Messi and Pierce goes, give it to him and pray. Oh, and he's done it. And it's just a perfect bit of calm.
It's beautiful.
He just goes, give it to him and pray.
You know what one of mine is? Oh. It's his goal against Nigeria. Because I'm pretty sure when the ball left his foot, the commentator didn't say anything. All he heard was, whack. And then everyone's like, no, dude. But I heard a Messi shout. I think for Messi to get golden boot, he has to beat the group state, the knockout game allegations. Mm. I think he's only got one goal.
Right.
I don't think
it
was a penalty. It was zero.
He's got no...
Is it zero?
I think he's got no goals in the knockouts. Maybe zero non-penalties.
He must have had some penalties.
But you know, he's got one penalty.
You know the thing about that with Messi, though?
The performance is still the performance.
Exactly for him. He was still the best player at 2014. He would not be bothered about not scoring a goal in the group stage and score one in the semis and then they go on to win the finals. Yeah. Like Maradona just done his bit in the final. What was it? 86?
Yep.
Burruchaga, Valdana. He just done his bit. Yeah. You know, and that's what I think that Messi would do. But, you know, I still believe Messi is just not worried about that. He just wants to help.
Mm-hmm.
He just wants to fucking pass it to Steve Kerr, bro.
He's Father Abraham in that squad, isn't it?
Exactly.
Playmaker mode.
With his many sons. But for me, it's like you need about 5 to 6 goals to get golden boot.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And it's never always like the lethal striker because someone might get a hat trick and then, you know, double, double, double. And like when you look at previous golden boot winners, like Kane was all like stat padding penalties. Thomas Müller is the one that went crazy in the paint.
My one is you have to be the forward that takes penalties for your country.
Yeah. Mm.
And you've got to get, let's say, 3 goals at the group stages.
Mm. Yeah. Some people might get 4. Like, you know, there's some groups. So I genuinely think, because I do want him to have a good tournament. And I think with Timo Werner not being there and Germany being this liquid team that can do stuff, I reckon Serge could get a hat-trick in group stage.
Yeah.
And if they go out, you get 2 more, you're in contention.
Well, it depends on the draw you've got as well and the games that you're going to have because that's going to give a lot of players a massive advantage. Yeah.
So I'm going Memphis Depay.
Memphis.
Right?
Oh. You're not going to let my amnesty take.
I'm going Memphis. Like, I think Netherlands are going to top that.
Against Qatar and Ecuador, that's kind of two open door opportunities.
This is it. So I think Memphis 5-6 goals. I think Memphis could get 3 goals in the group stage, get 2 or 3 more. I think I'm betting heavy.
Big.
I'm putting a lot of chips on Netherlands this year.
You're not going to let my amnesty take.
I think actually if you look at the draw though, that you do kind of have to read a lot into that because Argentina, they've got Saudi Arabia in there. I mean that could be like 9-0.
No one gets 9-0.
Yeah, but like the thing is with this Argentina who are looking to really roast and cook, properly cook and roast. They've got so many things going
the
on.
The
they've got everything, bro. I think that's the kind of game that they will absolutely annihilate Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
Messi gets a hat-trick in that game, then it's like...
It wouldn't surprise
halfway
me.
Halfway there.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Really, you've got to get 6 minimum, right, to try and keep yourself in contention.
5 in the conversation.
Six. Mm. Yeah.
6 so, does it.
And then a couple of assists to just maybe get you over the line.
Top yourself up in case you're in a tie game, whatever.
So, just to summarize, we've got for winners. So, I've gone with Argentina. Carl?
Brazil.
Bayoa?
Argentina.
Argentina. Flo?
Brazil.
Brazil. And the next category was the golden boot. Okay, so, I went with Lautaro Martinez. Carlo?
Memphis Depay.
Memphis Depay. Mayowa.
Serge Gnabry.
Serge Gnabry, the cooker. And Flo Lloyd-Hughes?
Messi.
Okay.
And do you guys remember the was it ITV or BBC that for the Brazil World Cup did that advert? It was like, Brazil. Brazil. That's all I can think in my head when I say that. Anyway. Right.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details.
So we're going into our third category now. Okay, so I love this one. I'm looking forward to hearing you guys on this one. And it is the Dark Horse.
Ooh. Carl will probably know why, but why is it called the Dark Horse?
Yeah, Carl.
Actually, I don't
know. It's probably something to do with horse racing.
It is horse racing.
It's got to be horse racing. It's going to be like, I don't know, some example where like no one, I don't know. We'll Google it.
You were blanking kind of well here.
That looked good until your arm went, I don't know.
Yeah.
So we're going to still go with the Dark Horse. And at some stage, someone can explain to us how the Dark Horse term came about, please. So we're going with the Dark Horse. And I'm going to start with you, Carl. Who are you going with your Dark Horse for the tournament?
My Dark Horse for the tournament is Denmark.
Oh,
wow.
I think Denmark are going to finish above France in that group stage.
Let him cook.
I'm looking at.
Myra wants to cook you.
I'm looking at this squad. It's moving me.
Wow.
It's moving me. Okay, they don't have the star talent striker. But you look at how they played at the Euros.
Yes.
In difficult circumstances.
Damsgaard, I like him.
He's a player.
He's a player, Chloe.
How they regrouped after Christian Eriksen collapsed. Eriksen being back as well. There's no real weakness in that squad other than they don't have the flashy goal scorer. And what we know from World Cups is you don't necessarily need a flashy goal scorer. I think this Denmark team can win games 1-0, which is really, really important. So I'm picking them to finish above France in the group stages, and I think that can go well. I'm also saying, man, I just really love this Netherlands team. I know Flo said Brazil Argentina semi final might happen. I think it's going to be Brazil Netherlands in that semi final.
Like, well, Netherlands are my dark horse.
Okay, Flo,
just gonna segue into it. I think they've got a pretty solid group, which they should finish top of. Carl's already bigged up Memphis Depay, but they've got a very, very nice squad, and it's a revenge tour. They need to prove themselves after some disappointing major tournament. Not even qualifying for some of the ones in the last decade.
Yep.
Bad performances. And I think that, you know, the strength in Ajax in European competition over the last few years, we're going to be seeing that development on the world stage. And some of their big players like Memphis, who are absolutely thriving. So
they got Louis van Gaal.
I don't know if they're
Louis
necessarily...
Louis van Gaal part three.
I don't necessarily think they're going to win it, but I think they're going to cause get a deep.
Problem. Yeah.
And they're going to cause a problem. And that's kind of, yeah.
That's all you want.
He can be I think tournament football is often about being pragmatic, and he can do enough of that, and you just hope that with the form that players like Xavi Simmons, Gakpo are coming in with.
Gakpo's a player.
He is, and ultimately he's playing for a move. We can't sugarcoat it. So hopefully it's similar to the whole James Rodriguez effect. People are already looking, you go out, you show out, and everyone goes, hey, we want him. So a lot of the players got a lot to individually prove, but that's a good shout. Mine is a South American team.
Okay.
I'm going Uruguay.
Whoa! I'm just going to jump in there and say that's exactly what I was going for.
Even though,
Mayo, I'm going to let you speak. Bogana. Because what happened?
Listen.
You know, there can be dark horses after the Ghana game.
Listen. Go on, Mayo.
I mean, just on Ghana, I think they're going to struggle to get out of that group.
But that game.
More than you believe.
I agree. More than you believe.
It's tough. Anyway, here I am in a Ghana shirt saying that.
Why Uruguay, Mayowa?
When I look at that team and when I look at international football, you need chaos.
And they've got him.
They have Mr. Chaos Nunes up top.
Mm-hmm.
They have the former Mr. Chaos in Suarez.
Yep.
They still have Cavani if they need him.
Valverde,
bit,
bro.
Valverde,
Bentancur.
Yeah, but they're a bit old and crusty.
But no, this is the problem, though. In international football, when you have
You got to think about how many games some of those players have played together. Mm. How many games Cavani and Suarez have played.
And when you're talking about pragmatic, they naturally can just like strangle the life out of the game. And then we have to look and see. We have to go back to what Suarez done, because Suarez done that naturally. Mm-hmm. He sacrificed himself for his country, handballed, knowing he's going off. Mm-hmm. And he still stood there and watched the penalty take.
It hurts, fam.
Yes,
you know, but like that is the depths that they will go to passion, to win, bro.
Passion. And the thing is, one of my favorite wrestlers ever was Eddie Guerrero, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he famously, you know, we lie, we cheat, we steal. And you know what? Growing up, that was a bit skeptical, but I understood it because it made him do what he needed to do. And this team is willing to do that. The coach is amazing. Yes. They're pragmatic.
Yeah, it's not Oscar Tabárez anymore.
Exactly.
Got new, so it's a thing, even though it's a new, it's an older squad.
Yeah.
They've got
new, rendition.
New rendition. There are question marks over the Portuguese team. If they had Jota, I'd be more excited about them, but they don't.
I've got,
and you know, the team feeling at the moment, I mean, listen, there's no way.
You saw that handshake.
You saw the Bruno Fernandes. Man said, bro, I can't lie. I'm trying to get your number. Bruno's a, you know, but you know what I like about Bruno, right? Mm. Bruno is like, he's an amazing PR merchant.
Mm.
When he got
PR
this.
PR merchant?
Yes, yes. Okay. And I'll explain why. I think it was a game last year where, you know, United played rubbish. He was the first one to go and was like, you know, come on, guys, come on, guys. Then he was talking rubbish online the day after. Cool. Against Eriksen, I love it. Like, he's short. It was clearly a short. Eriksen tapped in, he ran over. See, I'm always trying to provide for you. That Ronaldo moment, no matter what, it was probably about something so light. But he thought, you know what? If I show that, you know, I'm not too comfortable with him, they will love it. He knows what he's so calculated.
He can do that.
He's so calculated.
He could do that.
You don't score that many goals without being calculated. I mean, I saw Frank Lampard do it for a living. So he's this guy is a PR merchant. I know what he's doing, but Uruguay.
Big M's on fire today.
Honestly, Uruguay, they have enough. And again, like I said, South American teams in this heat, they'll be able to hack it.
Mm-hmm.
I just think when you've got Valverde, Bentancur, the forwards, the defense is like it's a mixture of
solid
European, but solid people playing in South America. Like it's a proper team. It's an actual team. And I think people think they've got a tough group. Once you get out of that group, the world's your oyster a little bit. So I'm going Uruguay for my dark horse.
Okay. That's who I would have picked as well, just because I just feel that, especially with, this is why, again, I know I've already said Argentina, but they've got something just naturally in their DNA where it means more to win and they will do anything for that. And like, you look at, again, with Argentina, they've got Messi that they want to win it for him. And I think like with Cavani,
they call it Grinta. Grinta.
What's that?
It's like a gritted win, like hard fought.
That's it. They get joy out of that. And then they not only can do that, but they can also like just lace it with beauty with someone like Messi.
Do you know what I like about sometimes when I see squad selections? You know, for instance, England squad's always going to be from the Premier League. With South American teams, especially Uruguay, there's people from Turkey.
Mm.
There's a young guy, Facundo Torres from Orlando City. He won the Uruguayan League in 2021. He scored a championship winning goal.
Mm.
Went to Orlando, started off poor, then started cooking, like big stove cooking, won them their first trophy since 2015.
Arga.
He's in the squad. And he's one of the players where people, you know when the scout room, you know when the scout reporters, that's fascinating.
I'm sorry.
I just remember just being down my missus answered that the Argus is just cooking everything. You can cook everything, even if you just put it up on the shelf, it's cooking.
Oh, that is hilarious.
Jeez, sorry, man.
That was funny. I tried to continue and said, no, let me let the laugh out. But you know when you've got players in your squad and an opposition manager's looking, you go, we don't have the fouls. They've got a few players like that where you'll be like, we literally don't have the fouls. They could bring on the forward like that. Mm. I think he's got one or two games to them. And they wouldn't know. You wouldn't know what to do with him because you don't know what to expect. And I like that element about teams.
There's been a lot of chat about Facundo Pellistri. So he came to Man United in late 2020, summer window. Hasn't really pulled up any trees on loan. Didn't have a great half season at Alaves. But he's been talking big about this World Cup. And he's very much saying, this is an opportunity for me to show myself to world football.
Mm.
And then I might be looking to move elsewhere because Manchester United maybe hasn't quite queued up for me.
Mm.
Yeah, okay. So we know you're a good right winger. We know you can dribble a little bit, but I'm not really familiar with your game right now. But he's talking big. We know this Uruguay team has quite a few sort of nice surprises. So a couple of unforeseen variables. And as a Ghanaian person, I'm hyping up this game between Uruguay and Ghana, and I've been talking a lot about crashing it on Suarez's head. Because I'm like, yeah, he's old. Maybe this is the time for Ghana to get something. And then I looked at the Uruguay squad and I went,
said, wow.
I don't get nervous. I don't get nervous. I don't get nervous. I'm starting to get a bit shaky. A bit weird, you know what I mean?
A bit weird. But it's true. I would love nothing better than Ghana to kind of avenge what happened.
It's what the people want to see.
It's what the people want
to
see.
But Uruguay are sick enough to throw Suarez on for the last 10 minutes and he scores two goals.
score a penalty. Can you imagine he score a penalty and it's not and it's one that shouldn't have been given? Yeah. Jesus, you know, someone up there is not feeling Ghana, bro.
I'll be coughing blood.
Right. So, guys, so what was that?
That was our dark horses.
Our dark horses. So, I've gone with...
We went with Uruguay.
Okay. Flo? Who's your dark horse?
Netherlands.
Carlo, who'd you go for, bro?
My dark horse is Denmark.
Denmark. Like it. I like that dark horse one. So, the last topic. The Amnesty hot take. And we're going to pass this one over to Carlo, because like Carlo's tweet was a beautiful thing.
So this is a game I play. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it on The Athletic for a little bit. So every single Premier League season, before international tournaments, the tweet goes out a week before. Mm-hmm. And I ask for your bad take. And the aim is not to be correct. This is just pure vibes, right? This comes from the part, it's the bit, you know when you watch someone take a penalty, before they take a penalty and your brain goes, they're going left, based on nothing. Right?
Yeah.
It's just that thing that kicks in
it's
when
like
you've seen.
It's like, look at me, what number am I thinking of?
Yeah. Right? When someone goes up to take a free kick and you go, it's going straight into the wall.
Yeah.
And if you get it right, you look like a genius. Yeah. If you don't, no worries.
Right.
Right. So it's not about being correct. It's just
your whole take, man.
There was a thought in your head and you just need to get out. You just need to get rid of it. And then you can go about your piece.
You can be peace. Yes.
So I put it out.
Like when
I take
you're
all
dreaming,
the takes.
You take the takes.
So every time I do it, I take all the takes. Mm-hmm. And then halfway through the Premier League season, I go, here's what you said. Would you like to change it?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're allowed one change and then I take it back.
Wow.
And then the season I give it back to you. We've been playing this game for three seasons. We've been playing for three seasons. We did it before the Euros. So we did one before the Euros. And then Sadiq Khan came up free. It was like, hey, Denmark are making the semifinals.
I'm like, wow.
What? Go and fix TFL.
Go and fix TFL. Hey, so our congestion charge.
Oh my God. No way, Carl.
The big man. Big Sadiq
came in and said Denmark.
Oracle Sadiq
Khan. Was telling me Denmark were going far in the Euros, and I went, "Oh, he knew."
Wow.
So it's this game's been going for a while. So the aim is you don't have to be correct; you just need to get it out of your system.
Perfect.
How many are we allowed to have today?
Just one hot take.
Just one. Because I wrote a few down, but I'm worried about the juju in case I actually manifest.
I just need one thing.
That's the thing.
The one you just want to get out your system.
I'm going to get this one out.
Okay.
So
go on.
What is your bad take for this? And it's an amnesty.
Mm-hmm.
No one's going to yell at you for this. Okay. You need to get off your chest.
Okay. So I'm going to go with Canada to make it out their group and Croatia to go out.
I mean, I can see it. I think that's pretty
Who they got? Canada, Belgium, Morocco and
such
Croatia.
Such a hard group. Such a tight group. I feel it.
I don't know. I look at it, like you say, I just want something to go wrong in that group. I don't know what it is.
Because I want peace.
You know what I think? I don't want peace. I want problems always. But the thing with it is that I think that why I feel that as well is I've been waiting on Belgium too long. Mm-hmm. And now I've seen them in that group and I just thought, let me see. I wonder if Canada can beat Belgium. Then I should, you know what?
Yeah.
I think Canada will get out of that group. Bam.
Joe David, can you do something for me? Please.
Miyawa, what's yours?
Carl's not going to like this one, but I think, well, my take is that the Netherlands will score zero goals.
Zero goals.
No Memphis Depay golden.
Bro.
Zero.
Zero.
Wow. Just because, or is it pure vibes?
Wait. Zero. Even against Qatar and like.
Don't
what?
Sleep on Qatar. They've got like 9 players with like 100 caps. Don't sleep on Qatar.
So that's roasting hot.
4 month long World Cup camp. They stopped the whole league 4 months before this World Cup.
I know they've been doing like pretty well in like regional championships, but still. This is another level.
Word to John Cena, it's the time is now.
That is my amnesty one.
Zero goals.
Wow.
Calm. What's yours, bro?
Alvaro Morata is going to ball out this World Cup. What? I'm talking He's going to outscore Messi. He's going to outscore Ronaldo. I know there's been a lot of talk about
Morata. I forgot he existed.
Me too. This honestly.
Is, people for, yeah.
It's hot.
Look, this Spain squad, no showbiz names in it, in a way, but no, I think Morata is going, it's going to click for Morata this World Cup.
Wow. He misses too many chances. But do you know how this is? Gonna, this is it.
Yeah,
this
do you remember, it's the Euro, a game of percentages. Do you remember in the Euro semi-final, Italy-Spain, when his own fans were booing him?
And but this is why I like this take. It's an Avenue's take, but I like it.
I just need to get off my chest.
It's a game of it's you. A game of percentages. With Alvaro, as Conte used to scream at him on the touchline. Alvaro! Just used to shout him. It's like, I can't remember what game in the Euros it was, and you couldn't pay him to score. Mm. And then he scored in extra time. I can't remember what game.
Beautiful goal.
Amazing goal. He could just, it could just all click. It could just all click.
He's got that vibe in him. He's got the vibe.
Everything
he's
got, you want from a striker, apart from that X factor.
That X factor of killing it, finishing it.
He's so I'm going to say he's going to do it this World Cup. Jesus he just needs, what, it's what, five, six games? Just to put it all together? Just like that little run, I think he's going to.
You know something? I like it. Because, like I say, I'm tired of waiting for Belgium. I don't know how my guy's going to do in there as well. Lukaku, I'm not hearing anything. Not hearing it from him. Not
the golden generation
anything.
Is it's.
Well, yeah. Well, when I looked at that squad that came out for Belgium, I looked at it and I was like,
it's not really. Did they take Trossard?
Interesting.
Yes.
He's the only one.
Can
I'm
you
like,
do something?
Okay. But you look at that squad and you're like,
he has to stop.
It's a bit as Geneva did.
Roberto Martinez has been very diplomatic when asked about Eden Hazard. And he said, you know, Trossard's having a good start of the season, but Hazard is very, very important to us and whatnot. But it's time. He has to give Trossard the keys.
He does. He does.
Yes.
I've said it, and that felt like a very weird sentence to say.
No, it's not, because you watch him against anyone, all the top guys, and he's somebody that you think to yourself, I'm very surprised he's been there for as long as he's been there now, because you look at him, the way he finishes, the way he takes people on, the way he cuts in, everything what he does is of a higher level than where he is. And I'm not saying that as a bad thing about Brighton, but you could see where he could fit into other teams and do what he's doing. I think he's a top four, top six player easily.
It's finally clicked though.
It feels like it has, because I've not, you know, when you watch some, his consistency every game is one of somebody who plays at a club that have to win every week, and he plays at that level. You know, someone else in Brighton as well, it's McAllister.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Every time you watch Brighton, you watch McAllister, he's doing more than seven out of 10. You know, it's just like you think to yourself, at some stage, someone's got to say, I could see.
I'm going to take a gamble, yeah.
Yeah.
I do like Trossard. I think this World Cup could be, I'm going to call it like him making the perfect stew. You know, sometimes you're making stew, you're cooking, there might be too much salt or whatnot. And
he's
know,
made
like,
it, he's
this
made
time
it,
could
yeah.
be, it could be, it's perfect. Yeah. He could be the Hazard.
Yeah, if Belgium are going to do anything at this World Cup,
it's going to be on him.
Through Trossard and De Bruyne, rather than the players that you used to associate with that golden generation. I think this is, it's TT. It's Trossard's
it's
time.
Trossard's time.
TT!
Trossard's time.
You're pudding.
What are you saying, Flo Lloyd Hughes?
Well, I think anyone that's listened to the last couple of shows will know that I'm not feeling that good about England right now. And my hot take is that England might lose to Iran in that opening game.
You know what?
I think they're going to be crusty. I think they're going to be a little bit stale, judging by some of those last Nation Leagues games. And I think it's going to take a while for them to get in the rhythm of this group stage. Mm-hmm. I think Iran are going to have like 10 men behind the ball.
That game's not going to be good to watch.
And then nick it from a set piece, and it's going to be like headlines now. I can see it. Like, England lose opening game, like crisis, chaos.
Accusations!
You know what? I'm not going to let Flo be on that hill by herself.
You feel it?
I don't feel it, but I could see it happening.
He's like, no, don't say so.
It's like, well, I didn't say that.
I'm not dying on the hill. I'm just saying.
But can
it's
I
a
say,
deal.
But there's no. Yeah, but you don't go into a World Cup with England, anyone who's in their group, right? Because
it's giving me Algeria 2010 vibes.
No, but it's Wales. So it's Wales as well.
Wales game is going to be Wales amazing. Game, like, that is going to be fireworks. Honestly. But it's the Iran game when they're not going to be ready, they're not going to be settled, and they're going to go into it. The expectations are too high on themselves in the sense that they think they're going to walk that game and they're going to come unstuck. And they just struggle to score goals at the moment. Apart from that crazy 20-minute period against Germany. And Mason Mount and Bukayo Saka just absolutely changed the game. I think they're a bit stale.
I think, onto your take, I've watched a lot of like different football this season and everything. the Premier League has been relentless.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's been many games where it's just kind of like
chill.
And I think that takes a lot of your legs. We've seen, I've probably seen more injuries in the Premier League of international players being tired than other teams.
We haven't seen Burnley. There's no Burnley in the Premier League this season.
Yeah, there's
you forgot that key flavour.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So I feel like a lot of those, even though like a lot of them, like Raheem will probably be ecstatic to be away from Chelsea a few weeks and everything, a lot of them are going to World Cup. It's like, I'm excited, but I'm tired. And you know when you're excited and you're tired, it's like you run those first 10 yards and it's like, oh, you know what? So I do see it being a game where it's going to be very awkward to watch. We don't know what squad's going to be out there as
Iran's
well.
Got no, there's no real wingers in that Iranian squad. So they play quite narrow.
Yep.
I mean, Carlos Queiroz is he's a pioneer of what we call shuffleball.
Yes.
You know, so
possession ball. He's like the
way, the way England play, which is very, we will just kill off possession for 20 minutes and then just hit you on set pieces and Raheem Sterling, Kane combinations. Queiroz has been doing that for time with Egypt, with Iran and whatnot. That's how he makes his bread and butter in international teams. He just makes international teams really hard and stubborn.
I think they'll be, they'll be very, very in our face, won't they?
You remember how bad 85 minutes of England versus Tunisia was in 2018?
Yes.
And it was only that last gasp when they were like, all is forgiven. Now England can kick on.
I think it's that vibe.
I think at least 15 minutes of that game,
I wouldn't mind it.
Stodgy.
Because like what's got to happen is that if I like to take Flo, to be honest, because it's something that you're always going to be worried about as an England fan, is are they going to be able to see them off? Because everybody feels like we should. But it's going to be our, I think it's going to be like how Flo said, but I'm hoping that we'll nick it at the end. And then what that will do for the players and their mindsets is slip them straight back into, okay, it doesn't matter how we win, we've just got to get it done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right? We've got to get it done. I hope they go into the game like that, because if they don't, and Iran, like you said, okay, they might not have wingers, but they've got some, they'll have some lively, creative players. I'm sure they will. So my Amnesty take was Canada's going to get out of the group and Croatia are not. What's yours, Carl?
My Amnesty take is Morata is going to ball out. I'm talking five goals minimum.
Arriba. Arriba. Vamos. I don't know.
Dentro. Inside.
My amnesty take is that Netherlands will score zero goals.
That one is so spicy.
You know something? I'm just, you know, as soon as he said it, as soon as Netherlands score, I'm straight on the phone. Straight. I say that take on fucking ridiculous, man. We've got one of our guys, like Carl saying, Memphis is going to win.
Balling out.
And it's, I'm really hope that one comes to pass.
We will be keeping the receipt.
Too many drip videos means there's going to be a big draw.
Remember, it's an amnesty. You don't have to be right.
It's an amnesty.
You need to get off your chest.
Thank you.
I'm not nervous. I'm just saying.
Right.
Mine is England to lose to Iran in that opening game.
See, right, you said, that definitely concerns me a little bit.
Listen, guys. That's it. Thank you very much, Carl Anka. Mayowa Kwadri, thank you, my brother. Flo Lloyd Hughes,
thank you.
You're the best.
Thanks, Dad.
Okay. Thank you very much for listening, everybody. That's our takes.
Episode 100.
Well, episode 100 is done. Thank you very much, everybody who's been listening to all of them. If you have listened to all of them, thank you very much for the support. Take it easy, everybody. I'll see you soon. Take it easy, everybody. Come on.